The end of this year, we're talking about Shiduchim, when has to be revealed and not revealed. Telling a couple of stories. Stories are also important, you know, they give some color to some of the principles that we're trying to articulate. We should go a little bit further, because it's extremely relevant. Before we get to the topic of today, which is Kru Revu, which all the topics are somewhat interrelated, obviously. I just want to give a number of other sources. You mentioned the Kilos Yaakov last week, if you recall, that there's a distinction between buying an object where the level of blemish is pretty low to require disclosure, because there are many alternatives, as opposed to Shiduchim. But I want to be more specific. So the Sefer Chofetz Chaim says, if the Chosna is a Chisaron Otzum, you are required to reveal it, even to a third party. You must tell the Chosna Kala about this and this problem. And how do you define Chisaron Otzum? And I'm quoting from Rabbi Zilberstein, Rabbi Yashav's son-in-law, who is quoted in a sefer called Binas HaShidduch, Geder Chisaron Otzum U'Kol Chisaron Shugam B'Di'evit. And he quotes the Kilos Yaakov. Any Chisaron which is so bad, that even after they're married, they want to opt out, that you are required to disclose. Okay? Fine. Of course, we have to be careful in how we apply this. Apply this. Whatever can be discovered by a party with relative ease, there's no need for you to disclose it. I mentioned this again last time a little bit. The Chofetz Chaim says like this. In those days, we've come a long way, but in those days you wanted to have a son-in-law was a Talmud Chacham. I'm not required to go over to you and say that this guy's not a Talmud Chacham. If you want to find out, you take him to someone who's learned to make an evaluation, and he'll get the answer. It's not, you know, I'm not required to be proactive and say that, you know, you shouldn't take this boy as a son-in-law because he's not a Talmud Chacham. Figure it out on your own. On your own. We mentioned a little bit about Moshe's tshuva, with the woman who hadn't had a period. What about bracha? So Zilberstein talks about bracha in that same book. He says that if a woman has the bracha gene, she's required to tell the man. And if the mother has the bracha gene, the daughter is required to check herself to see if she carries it or not, not to be over in some kind of violation of ono. It's a 50% chance, as we well know. She's not allowed to stay in a situation of ignorance. That's what he says. And in my opinion, according to the Kilos Yaakov, you certainly don't have to reveal it at all, because no one's going to get divorced, presumably, if they find out after the marriage that there's a... Let me say it properly. That she or he carries a BRCA gene. I'm not sure if you're aware of the genetics. We don't have the implications directly, but if you can have the gene to pass to your child as well. And beyond that, what if it's a situation in which it's, you know, people know about it. It's not a secret. It's not a secret that the mother suffered from, let's say, for example, from breast cancer at a fairly young age. And the other side, if they want, can do more research. So they should ask the question, and if they don't get the right answer, they can either walk away, if they're not, you know, satisfied, or say it doesn't matter. This leads me to my last topic I want to discuss. It's too much. I don't want to take away from the next topic. What happens in a situation where the kala is no longer a besula? What happens in that situation? Is there a disclosure obligation? Because it's a little bit tricky. So the Gemara has in Ksubas Yud Aleph, Kinsa Becheskas Besula V'Nimtzis Be'ula Mekach Tos L'Gamri Mashma. According to the Tosfos Daf Yud, the Beis Shmuel claims that they're not even married. They have to marry her again. So on that basis, it's a big problem. Maybe they're not even married at all. However, other poskim disagree and say, no, they are married. That's what we assume, halacha lemaisa, they are married. And Rabbi Yosha has a tshuva about it as well. But then he comes up with a whopper chumra. He says, you know, they're married, all right, but there's no ksuba. Because the ksuba is possible. That's also Sugas HaGemara, right? If he's also learned the Misaf to ksubas. And what he says is as follows, Mi ha'nin ha'din ein lo ksuba. Ha'ksuba shu kosev lo ein lo za'erech. To live without a ksuba. So, it's also Ramos, it's Kedemus Das, Chug B'nai Torah, I don't like this stuff. That's what Rabbi Yosha writes at the end of his tshuva, Kovas Tshuvas. So from the perspective of the ksuba, we can have the following suggestion. Number one, the ksuba today, as we'll get to when we look back, ksuba is not as important as it used to be. Because nowadays, certainly in Ashkenaz, I think in most Sephardic communities as well, a man may not divorce his wife against her will. The whole purpose of the ksuba originally was shotekala bein of lotzia. Can't do it anymore. Ramah talks about that in Simen Samach Vav. We'll get to it. More than that, look in the Chelkos Bechok against Simen Samach Zayin, he says, Kinsa Becheskes Besula Benissas Be'ula, she has what we call Tosefes Ksuba. Tosefes Ksuba. Now Tosefes Ksuba, as we will learn, is more than the real Ksuba. So therefore, since the Tosefes Ksuba is more than Masayim Zuz, far from it, so then you can rely on it Tosefes Ksuba, which is more than Masayim, it's not a Bilas Nus. Once I had a case, I guess it was Zalman Nechemya, there was a case of a boy married a girl and she was adopted at a very young age, and they had to write a Ksuba of Giyurta. And we'll get to that later. Though we knew about it, that about Tuksubas. We spoke about a little Tuksubas in a different context before. And in all the confusion, the second Ksuba was a Ksuba of Giyuris, which didn't only say Giyurta, but it said only Ksubasa Meya, whereas the Mishnah says, if she converted before the age of 3, it's Ksubasa Masai. The kids said the Ksuba was a toast but by Mishnah. And the question became, you know, all these years later, what to do about it? And I suggested to Rosam Nechem, and he accepted it, that there's no need for a new ksuba, because since there was a Tosefes ksuba, the Tosefes ksuba, even of a Gioris, is much more than the Iker ksuba of a Psula, and therefore that problem, I thought, would not exist. Beyond that, the Klozen Megareba is a tshuva about this, the Divrei Yatzev Ebenezer Tezvav, he says, number one, these days, ksuba is never collected, it's always a Mechilas ksuba. And number two, I read you the Ramos Simen Samaches. Who can say Pesach Pesuch Matzasi? Only a Nosui, someone who's been previously married. Ava Bochalo, the Adir Ava, Malkin also Kshato and Kach. The Meacha Shalom Hoya Nosui Mitchila, Eno Bakim Bekach. That's the case. Says the Klozen Megareba. Don't say anything. Pesach Pesuch, he doesn't know the difference. And what we call Tainas Damim does not apply nowadays. Many, many women who are completely virtuous, there's no dam when they get married at age 22. There's nothing there for whatever reason. That's a biological phenomenon that Tosafot and the Rak talk about in Masechta Ksubas. Ah, the Rabbi Yoshev says, Ramos, and Nafshim Soledes. Well, let's see the following shayla. Let's see a man, to use the words of today, is not a virgin. I don't like those using those kind of words on the street, but the man was sinned in that area of life. Is he required to tell the girl? So, maybe you'll say yes, but in some circles the answer is no. And if we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chatas Nureinu B'Sheinu Al Tizkor, that was Chatas Nurim, and we got past it. And therefore there's only the physical distinction between males and females. As we said before, that can be eliminated in the case of a bachur based on the divriyat. I just wanted to finish up some of these issues before we go on to start the new topic. Yes, Rabbi Stein.
What about information that should be revealed, but you're afraid it's not going to a third party be obligated to reveal it over time, but you only came about that information confidentially, either as a rabbi or a professional?
Yeah, so that's a big problem. That's a very, very major problem. For professionals, it's a real problem, Because if they disclose, well, they're not allowed to disclose, they'll lose their licenses. Right? There is an exception for Pikuach Nefesh. I actually spoke about it on Friday to the Dr. Pelkowitz in Blumenthal's class. I asked, someone says to you in confidence, and he's going to take a gun and kill somebody. What's the law? He says, I'm going to kill this person. He said, even though it's in confidence, you are required to reveal it. Right? Everyone understand that? So I said, well, what's the difference if he says to you, listen, I'm gay and I have AIDS, and I'm going to marry this girl. So we'll kill her a different way. He stopped and said, yeah, but the gay lobby is too powerful. Do you tell me? So I'm saying, so the laws are written by people who are not necessarily coming from the perspective of Torah Messina. You have to be realistic within the laws. You can't lose your license. You're not going to be able to save anybody else. You have to, you know, use a judgment call. It's hard to give specifics in each and every case. But obviously, it's a very, very serious problem. Okay, any other question on this before we go to the topic? We're a little behind. Okay. Today's topic is Pru Revu. So I understand that the Maror Makom is actually out, for real. I have some on the screens. Everyone has?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Carmen. So everyone has it now on their screens. Okay, let's begin. So we finally got a chance to say a shiur. Tonight was just a lecturing. Now we can have the things in front of you. We can say a shiur.
It's on the board, too.
It's on the board, too. Terrific. Okay, thank you. Le'yavatel adam epiriv yiriv yam k'nyesh l'bonim. Okay? Adam k'nyesh l'bonim. What do you mean? Adam k'nyesh l'bonim. Then, if you don't have children, you'll mevatel from piriv yiriv. What do you mevatel? You already have a boy and a girl. The answer is, the Pashup Shad, the Mishnah is, that you can have Puruvu even after boy and a girl. Boy and a girl is a minimum. So you could have more and have greater Chiva Puruvu fulfilled. You're not required once you have a boy and a girl. That's it. Not required. Now, what is the nature of the obligation of Puruvu? What is it? What is it? So we have to look at the sources to see what the nature of the obligation is. The obligation of a man to have Pru Revu is found at the very beginning of the Rambam. It says on the second page, if those who have it. Do I have to scroll down somewhere to get to it? I don't have it. If you give me, put this up, I know how to do this, I think. Okay. Look at this. Wow. Okay. Let's get down. Am I in? Where am I? Yeah. Okay, Rambam. Is it big enough for those in the back? Yeah, okay. Okay. In low key, I can make it bigger. Okay, let's make that bigger. Where do I do that?
Bottom right.
Bottom right. This? Plus? There you go. Gradually I'm learning. Okay. Avlam low key, a person doesn't have a boy and a girl yet. Chayav livol b'chol ona at sheyu lo bonim neshimitzis haseh shel Torah. So the obligation of Pru Revu according to the Rambam is to have relations with one's wife, regular intervals. This is what it says. That's the nature of the mitzvah. So therefore, my pshat is that the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah is chayav livol b'chol ona. That's the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. So if you get schar, like eating matzah, same thing. Now, if you have a boy and a girl, then, as we saw earlier, you're no longer obligated to engage in the chiyuv livel b'chol ona, because you have a boy and a girl. He says over here, you need a zohar and a keva, writes the Rambam in the Lex Halacha. That's what's required. Okay, what if your children Nebuch died and they left children? Also, Kiyem Bitzvah's period of review, are no longer obligated from the perspective of Puruvu to have more children. Right? More than that, what will happen in this following situation? Had Bonim Begiyuso, your children when he was not Jewish. Kiyem Bitzvah's who? Kiyem Bitzvah's who? How can that be? The Mefarshim Master Kasha, that at the time that he had the child, he was putter. So how does that work? If you eat matzah when you put the, kfor shade, the Gemara says, you have to eat matzah again. So the answer is, Rabbi Osai, that since you have a boy and a girl, de facto, the mitzvah is no longer, there's no chiyuv incumbent upon you. That's all. That, I think, is the correct interpretation. The correct interpretation. And in Minchas Chinuch, are we on the commoners at the end? You didn't put it on at all? Okay. So I'll tell you about the Minchas Chinuch. Okay, I'll give you the Minchas Chinuch as they appear in the new version, in the Mechon Yerushalayim version. Disagrees with everything I just said. Okay, hang on. She has to be exciting, right? He says in Mitzvah Aleph, we'll call it Sivkot and Ches, that the Bia is only a Heksha Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is the fact that you have children. So yes, the following question. How can a person fulfill the Mitzvah approval if he has a child of Mamza, which we accept? It should be a Mitzvah Abba B'Aveira. So he answers that the Aveira is only in the Heksha Mitzvah. It's like someone who carries matzah. We went to the matzah comparison. You take matzah from your house to the street, over an Easter of Otsah, and you're in the mitzvah of matzah, even though you're already over the Aveira during the Heksha Mitzvah. That's his pshat. Called the my pshat? No. No. You have a zocher, you have an akev in point of fact. You are not obligated to have more children, and you will not get schar mitzvah, because of mitzvah of Aveira. In Hilchos schar, you will not get it. But in Hilchos, we have to do it down the road to have more children, you're not required. Sifkot and Yudab, trying to go in order. He says the mitzvah is fulfilled every minute. It's not like matzah. And that's why he has the kasha. It's the Torah evidence, my kasha. How can you have fulfilled the mitzvah when you were a goy? Right? The answer is, according to me, he says the minchas, you have a child. According to me, you did not get the mitzvah points. Because at the time you did it, you were not a bar chiyuva, but nonetheless, you are still potter. The Michasin has the kash against Tosis and Baba Basra Daf Yud Gimel. They say, as the Cholosa say, the essay is the Gemar Bia. He has the kash. What means Gemar Bia? The essay is when you have children. According to me, no. The essay is the Gemar Bia. That's the act it's supposed to do. Live a b'chalona in order to have children. That's the Maisa Mitzvah. That's all. And the Rabbi used the word kiyem, it just means from that point on, you're no longer obligated to continue. Let's take a look, Rabbi Osai, in the base Shmuel. I think it should be here. The very beginning of Choshen of Aaron Ezer, Simon Aleph. Let's see. I'm not sure if we have it in it. You know, I just have cotton, see, I can't tell if you have it here. The first page?
Third page.
Okay, thank you. Third page, you said? I'm not sure it's the right one. Whatever it may be, the Beis Shmuel does say in the first siman of Evan Ezer about an Isha Shilis Arba Ba'ambati. Ambati. So, you know what that means? It doesn't exist, Bisman Ezer, in its original form, and I don't think it ever existed. But, he says, you know what? He didn't even know what he was doing. Guy didn't know what he was doing. So the Michas Chinuch, the fact that Beis Shmuel says that Kiyam Ma'av Pru Revu, you see that he's the Av L'chol Dover, so we pass on L'chol L'mais. So he says, you see from here, Michas Chinuch down in Sivkot and Chavav, I said before in Ches, it's correct. The B is not the mitzvah. Having children is the mitzvah. In my opinion, it's the same thing. He has no mitzvah points. But he's no longer obligated to have children because, point of fact, he has a biological child. It's not the same as if he fathers a child through what we call artificial insemination. Let's say AIH, we call it, from the husband. They can't have children naturally. So you have to go AIH, IVF, all the Rosh Hashanahs we will get to. But in my opinion, he does have the mitzvah because he's done it purposefully. But if he didn't, just a theoretical ambati, whatever that means, he would not have the mitzvah points, but it would be his child. He would not be required to have more children. Fine. The Gemara goes on. Afsan of Beit, I think that's probably the first page. Okay. Can't read the whole sugya. But we saw about If you had Bana Begiyuso, it's about more than halfway down this piece. It says, Rav Yochanan says, you fulfill the mitzvah, and Rish Lakish says, no. Okay. Then the Gemara says over here as follows. Hakal modem be'evet, shein lo chayis. So even the Rav Yochanan says, you fulfill the mitzvah when you were a guy, because there's no relationship. There's no relationship whatsoever. Okay, so Tosus says about the key period of Riva when he's in his Gaia, I could cut on Shinola dummy. That's what Tosus talks about over here. Yeah. But it doesn't matter. Came in the Minuchyuso Kiyam to Zara Miyuchas Achrov, but also Shah Miftonamik Shinis Gaia. That's it. Once he did it, and it's done. Okay. It's done. Okay? Fine. What about the following case? He had a child from a Yisraelis when he was a goy. Unfortunately, this is too common. A goyish man and a Jewish woman, they have a child, and now he converts. So the Minchas Chinuch says he did not fulfill Peruvu because there's no relationship. There's no relationship whatsoever. That's what he says. That's correct. Okay, let's now see a little bit more in the Gemara. I'm not sure if we have it here. One second. Just trying to find this. Guess it's not here. Okay, I guess it should be here, but it's not here. The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that we have to make this better for next time. Let's take a look over here what we have. Do you all have this in front of you or on the screen?
Everyone has it.
Okay. So the famous Mishnah is that the Chatz Yevet, Chatz Eben Choron, these are Shivchen Yochel. So Tosi says, Akash, Ibn Tomar, even if he can be, Enem Akayim Puruvaru. Vieshloma, Me Yochel Akayim Sheves, called who? Oh, what is Sheves? The Gemara said that Sheves is something which exists. It's an obligation. Okay, Sheves Yitzara. Good. This is a fulfillment of a mitzvah. Now, why is it so important? It's not just a mitzvah. This is the mitzvah rabbah for which you will force a master to emancipate a servant, which is normally a violation, not because of Pru Revu as such, it's not because of Sheves. Why is this relevant? I'll give you the following case. We said before that if a person purposefully is Motzi Zera in order to be utilized either AIH or IVF, he fulfills Pru Revu, in my opinion. The child is his child. What happens if his wife has no eggs? Shem Yerachem, no eggs. So, she wants to use a donor egg. Everyone knows what I'm talking about? You heard of these things? Now, the big dispute, who's the real mother? The poskim, these are the leaning, where I leaned from a long time ago. Probably it's the genetic mother. That means the child is really not Jewish. Has to undergo conversion. We undergo conversion in both directions, for surrogacy as well. We're not sure, but here's the shaila. If that's the case, the man can be considered guilty in violation of the Avera of Otsoa Zera Levatola. Because if he's using a donor egg of not Jewish origin, which many people say he should use, then there's no Puruvu. The answer is, there's Sheves. Exactly what you saw now. There's Sheves. And it's Sheves that is what is the main motivating factor, and therefore there'd be no violation.
Even for a Jew who's in Sheves.
We have no alternative.
Right.
The alternative is to divorce his wife.
Right.
So maybe he should divorce his wife. We didn't talk about that yet. Did we? About 10 years, divorce your wife. We didn't talk about it. We'll talk about it now. Yeah?
But then it wouldn't be much of a kid number five.
Why?
according to some posting Muslim, Sheves ends at a certain point?
Sheves, no. Sheves never ends. Sheves has a very low beginning. One child is already Sheves.
So you can even do...
The same as my opening statement there was a Peru who can go beyond two. Sheves can go beyond one.
Is that Pasha?
Nothing's Pasha in this world. I'm just thinking, I think it's true. The Sheves Yitzhara means the more people there are, the more the world is inhabited. Okay, nearly. Look it up. If you see it, if I'm wrong, comment next week so we can tell. I'll be more dilemmas that I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I've been wrong many times. Okay. So let me first step out of the pure halachic shir to take a step back. Do anyone in this room know of a couple that got divorced after 10 years for lack of children? Big crowd here. Anybody know? It's not going to be. We believe in the Shulchan Aruch. So there are all kinds of terutzim which are given. And, you know, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, because, you know, it's derived 10 years from after Avraham Avinu was, but that's a very shvera word, because Hashem told me you're going to have children in Eretz Yisrael, not before, so. Then some say, the Mordechai suggests, based on the end of Cheskas Sabbatim, that nowadays we should all refrain from having children because the Golos is so bad, so because she will allow you to be together, we can't be celibate. It's also a very shvera word, because Tos himself says, that only means it should after you have a boy and a girl. So there's no really good terrors why don't we do what we're supposed to do? So they say we're not makman and shidduchim nowadays, whatever that means. I want to give you my suggestion. Based on a Meshachachma. Meshachachma Pashas Noach. He gives two reasons why men are chayav and peru avu and women are not. One reason is it's dangerous and it's not fair to impose an obligation to do something if it's dangerous for the woman. But his second shot goes as follows. If the woman will be married to a man and she's obligated in Puruvu and the man cannot produce children for her, she's going to have to get divorced. And getting divorced to separate from the one you love and marry the one you hate is unnatural and the Torah cannot demand it. That's where a woman is not obligated. Ah, the man... What's the answer, gentlemen? Huh? Take a second wife. That's all. Now, of course, we can't do that nowadays. That's how we start at the beginning. But Rabbeinu Gershom made a cherim. But in principle, so in my humble opinion, today the man is the same as the woman. If the man can't take the second wife and have to divorce her, it's the same as the woman in the understanding of the Meshech Chochma. That's my chiddush. Anyway, the Mai says it's really not done as a rule. Okay, but now we come to the following serious question. We know...
Would you recommend he divorce in that case?
Or I wouldn't recommend anything. No way. I don't recommend divorce. No. It's not fair to demand divorces, in my opinion. Okay, so the Rambam that we saw on page 2... Ha'isha shehirshes es balach ha'nisuin sheyimna onasa harez a mutter after peruvu. So the obvious question is, why is it mutter? Why is it mutter? Take a look at the Beis Shmuel, page 3. This is Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this, the Siman Ayin Vav. U'mashma acha shehayel yielo bonim mahani reshut shela. I feel him yochel holid, and no day menon on the Rambam chiluk zeh. The mahani mechila shelo achakim puravu, the mahani kodesh shakim puravu. The feel him kim puravu mikolim chayav lekayim. A third prong, la erev al tanach yadecha. That's the Gemara. La erev al tanach yadecha. That's what it says. That's a mefurisha Gemara. Okay, this is the Ramach. That's quoted in the last line of the first page, against the Rambam. I feel kim it's puravu, also lo likach isha lavas bonim, look Rabbi Yeshua, her labana bialduso yelom aziknuso, based on the Erev Altanach Yedecha, posik and Koheles. So that's the Beis Shmuel's kasha. It's a very serious question. Where did the Rambam quote this din of the Erev Altanach Yedecha? Did he quote it? Let's see. We have the Rambam here. Don't have the Rambam. some of this list, it seems to be incomplete. Okay, it's an halacha, Tes Zayin. I got lost. I read you the Rambam. Rambam says as follows: If have pru revu, mitzuvah midivrei sofim shiavat lilivros for livros calls manish bal koach. Catch this now. He has his own shot. Shekolam mosif nefesh achas biyisrael kilubana olam. Wow, where'd that come from? So the Pesach Tshuva again. It says over here, Elisa Isha quotes the Beis Shmuel's Kasha. Birka Yosef says, "Imkiyem Puruvu Eno Chayil Divel B'Cholona Elim Shmuel LeErev Al Tanach Sagi LeItim Rechokos Raksha Eniach LeGamri." Tanach means you stop. I'm not stopping. I'm just spacing. The Rambam says, before you have a boy and a girl, so then what? B'Cholona. But if you have a boy and a girl, no. You'll do it a little bit later on. On the other hand, Rabbi Osai, one can argue more than that. It's not a chiyuv gomer. The Rambam never quoted Rabbi Takeda. He called it some semi agadata. Mekayim ola mole is obviously a reference to the Gemara Yevamah Samach Gimel. It called and also prepared rivya kilu shofir damim. Mishnah Sanhedrin Lama Zion says that Matan Nevesh Yisrael Kilu Kibol Amale, so Kol Amosif the same thing. It's a Kiyim Mitzvah Daraisa Puruvu, as we said earlier, Mitzvah Gedolah Me'od, but it's not a Chiyuv. So therefore, if that's the case, even if you're Meniach Legamri, it's okay. The big difference between my Pshat and the Pesach Tshuva's Pshat, Pesach Yosef Pshat. You have to have a boy to go, can I just stop? Because there's no Chiyuv to go further, it's a good deed, a Mitzvah Puruvu, but it's not an obligation. That's what comes out from this interpretation, based on the Rambam's proof text not being Le'er Avotan Chedecha, but Kol HaMakayim Nefesh Achas V'Yitzro, which is a very nice mitzvah, but not an obligation necessarily, as opposed to the Birka Yosef, is that you can just space them, but you're not allowed to stop completely. Yeah? Forever? You have to have double-digit numbers of children? Is that really the case? Well, let's see. Maybe you are. What does it say? Missing a lot of my cars here. We have to get them back somehow or other, sometime. Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Aleph, Siv Ches, don't see it here, he says that if a person has many children, and if he's afraid he's going to marry a childbearing woman, it's going to be Ketatos HaMerivos between his new children and his old children and his new wife, Muta Lisa Isha Shena Basbona. You're allowed to do it. What do you see? La Erev al Tanech Edach is not an absolute obligation. It's a mitzvah lechatchila, but it's going to cause fights. You're not obligated. May I add? Why is the Ramah's principle, which is enunciated in the context of having fights between your new wife and your old kids, be the only example? What if it's a fight between your present wife, and you? That's a worse ketata. That's a ketata between a husband and wife, not a ketata between a stepmother and stepchildren. So therefore, it seems to me that a poshet, that a person is not obligated to fight with his wife, and say, I insist on fulfilling peruvu, I mean, more than peruvu, le'er v'tanach yedecha. No, take a look at Pesachei Tshuva over here. Watch this. What is this? I think it's the wrong source. I apologize. It's not what I want. Okay.
Just real quick. Does that mean the first wife's not still having children?
You only have one wife. I'm using the word first wife.
But I'm going back to the Shulchan Aruch.
First wife died.
Oh.
And then has to remarry. So you can remarry a woman who has can bear children or not. That's the Shulchan Aruch context. Okay. The Pesachei Tshuva is in Siman Hey, Sivkot on Yud Aleph. Has the following case, Kosa Chasam Sofer. The woman was Mekayim Sheves Kolshu. She has one child. She may drink a Kolshel Ikrin. She may take a permanent contraceptive. And I quote, "B'nesua eina mechuyevas etzar atzum neshibudal shemushubedes lebaila." has tsar gadol if he rolls any amore. And he can keep her as a wife, even though he is not going to have any more children. He only has one. He has one. Wow. Take a look over here in Igros Moshe. This we do have. This first paragraph. It's Chelek Gimel, Simon Chavdal about birth control pills. It first came out many years ago. He writes as follows. He says as follows. If the woman is weak, the first line, Im kasha ibra lefnei aisha mitzat choli chul shavi alma, more than stam nashim, it's okay. Af lo kiyem adayin puravu imi chalusha l'chaklo says his man kotach l'schazek gufa v'koshkein shakiyem puravu ishlahat l'chaklo s'gamad sholosh shonamash l'schazek v'mi shachola af shol t'stakim izeh elat tichle biyosa should be sick more than normal v'stabat v'kiyem puravu tuchal levat l'ofen zeh af the gamri the b'shul mitzvah sheves ein o'isha m'shubedes l'vala l'ischalos v'zeh yosem iderech stam noshim. Even Puravu not, perhaps. You have to give a divorce. We're not going into that particular detail. Okay? I want to say, and this is against her worship, sorry, that it doesn't only apply when she is physically sick, but when she's dealing with very difficult circumstances as well. Let's say that we call today a special needs child. A special needs child. So the woman is just overwhelmed with a special needs child. She just can't contemplate having additional children. In my opinion, it's okay. But Moshe and Chelek Dalet is not so happy with that psak. The Chazon Ish is quoted in the Nishmas Avraham by Professor Abraham. Quote, Acharei leida mutar lishtamesh b'kol emtzoi ha'minia afilu kippa. A kippa is a... We use our terms today, diaphragm. Kidei laharchik es haknasa lehiroin l'shisha chadoshim at shana. Afilu em ein le'isha shum sibuchim refuiyim miyuchadim. Ki tkifus aleidus gam nechsheves asavek sakana. Can you imagine that? Up to a year after a child is born, she's not sick at all. It's not so healthy to have children one after the other. Now, Rechadish may be discussing the perspective of the mother, which may also be true, but my neonatologist tells me, even from the perspective of the children, it's healthier if they wait a year before becoming pregnant again. Shlomo Zalman asked Dr. Abraham, quote, Gam achalei de rishona? In other words, if they have a boy and a girl, nicha, what Chaznish said, achalei de rishona? The answer to this question, I believe, is found in the Netziv. The same as a big chiddush. The Gemara has on Daf Samach Beis, the Masechta Yevamos, that we actually have over here. I'm sure we have it. 1 second. Page 1. Rav Nosson Omer. Let me see Rav Nosson Omer. It's in the halfway down the first long quote. Second. Beisil Rav Nosson Beisil Zocha on the Keva. Omer over my time to Rosalie Rabbi Silo. Shenema. Loto Baral Shevis Yitzara. The Ovid La Shevis. So, on a simple level, that's only Shevis. There's nothing to do with Pru Ravu except the court of Rabbi Nosson. The Netziv writes in Kuf Samech Beis in his Hamak Shela that no, even according to the Chachamim, the fundamental mitzvah is fulfilled with one child. And they only argue, the Rabban argue, Rav Nosson, only in his words, le mitzvah bi alma. And that's why, if they have one child, you don't divorce your wife after 10 years. Why not? At least another question. You have 10 boys. 10 boys. And now your wife is past menopause. She has to divorce your wife to have a, try to have a girl? That's ridiculous. Of course it's ridiculous. Okay? Why? Because it's the Shevis, and fundamentally, even the Puravu is reduces the Shevis b'diyevet. L'chadchila, you have to have a boy and a girl. And to divorce your wife, b'diyevet. So I said, that's the answer to the kasha of Shlomo Zalman against the Chazon Ish. And therefore, it seems to me, it's permissible, even after one child is born, in a pinch, when the woman asks for it, to wait up to 2 years for having another pregnancy. Where do I get, that? Who knows where I got the number 2 years? Where do I get it from? Where do I get it from? Anybody know? What happened to the Pope? I made it out of nowhere. Where do you find 2 years? Anyone know? Menekes. Menekes is 2 years. Isa Menekes Chaver is for 2 years. So in the olden days, they nursed for 2 years, and they didn't become pregnant while they were nursing. So they waited 2 years. So now the world's changed, but because I think it can still wait 2 years in such a circumstance. Cain, Nireh, Lee. And now 2 years pass. She tells her husband, I don't want any more children. Let's say they already have a boy and a girl. Is she right? Is he right? Because the general rule I tell couples when I meet with them all the time, I tell them, the right thing to do is have children immediately and don't start stalling with various excuses, which most of which are Advar B'Talin. But, I always say, if you have already a child, and there's an argument between husband and wife whether you should have more children at that particular time, so you don't have to come to me again because I'm going to always rule in her favor. Whether he wants a child and she doesn't because it's too hard for her, or she wants a child and says, I can't afford it. Either way, I'm going to rule like her as a general principle. But of course, these are, there are exceptions. What is the Sheba, the saw the Lashon, the Sheba to Isha Lebaila? What is the Sheba Lebaila? What is it? It seems to me that the Sheba Lebaila is contextual and depends on the perhaps unspoken understanding at the time of the marriage. Just give you an example, okay? Why you connect Shidduch? It's very good. Why it connects? It's a Valdik. Okay? So, fine YU boy meets a fine stern girl, and they get married, and they have a child, and suddenly in his life sort of morphs a little bit, and he becomes a Hasidic Jew, and he moves to a new community. In that community, everyone has double-digit children. He tells his wife, Chana, we're going to have a, you know, 12 kids. Yaakov Avinu is our role model. She says, Yaakov, when I married you, you were no Yaakov Avinu. You were a YU boy, maybe YU connects. And we didn't spell it out, but you know, and my family has 3 children, your family has 4 children, maybe you want to go to 5. No, 12? I didn't sign up for that. I think she wins. Or vice versa, for that matter. She suddenly wants to become many, many, many children. And he says, I didn't sign up for that. I just can't handle it. Now, you have to, I'm just giving you some criteria. Obviously, every case is a little bit different, but it seems to me that this is an important criterion to be kept in mind. Nara Bosai is a Rambam. Halacha Zayin. You all have it. Lo yisa oda makara uskein of alanis uktana shenariyul elit. Elim ke mitzkiyim privrivya. Okay. Says the Magad Mishnah. So you have it on the bottom, okay? For cost, the line 2. For cost, Rabbeinu Bichlolon. What did he add? Haktana. The fisha afal pishi bal the chlal bonim hashdohu mechuyav v'ilav bas bonimi umavu betosefta perek alafdi avamis. You're not permitted to marry a woman who right now is not childbearing, even if later on she will become childbearing. It seems to me that it's obvious, based upon this, that there's no head to practice contraception at the beginning of the marriage. Because if she practices contraception, you know what she is? She's a ketana. I don't mean it in a literal sense. The same as you marry a 10-year-old, she can't have children for 2 years. If you marry a 20-year-old, with the understanding she'll be on birth control for 2 years, she also can't have children for 2 years. So the 20-year-old reduces to a 10-year-old. It's not going to help very nice. It'll be born more than Cholona. He's very happy. But if she's on birth control, they're not going to fulfill the Puruvu in that fashion. To me, it's a davar pashut. Now, there may be certain exceptions to the rule. The Rambam writes, Lasik B'Torah, you know. And there were those who quote a famous Mishnah, Gemara and Masechta Sota. What do you do? Yivnodim Bayis, V'yita Kerem, V'yisa Isha. So the guy will say, listen, Rabbi, I haven't built a house yet, I haven't planted my vineyard yet, therefore I'm not chuyav to fulfill Puru Revu. So the Mashah there says, Mi sheyesho yasek seder hazeh lisa isha b'achrona. If you're able to, you do it in that fashion. Rabosai, if you're going to wait in today's world, in our world, until you already have a bias and a Karen, which you have enough money to buy a house and make money in the business to support a child, you're going to wait an awfully long time. Clients are going to disappear. I'm going to read you from the Torah Tamima, right there in Parashat Shoftim. Mavua Midvarov. Okay? Not Marsha. The Rak Mishiyesh to Lahotzi ala Kol, Yino Kaseder Azeh. You'll never get married. That's crazy. It says in Ksuba Samach Zayin, Yosem to get married, you what do? You give him from tzedakah money, just for his basic needs. What do you give him? You give him a bed, you give him a chair, and that's it? No mabayis, no kerem, no parnasa, and you get married. Zel. That's all. This is codified in the Ezer Mekodesh. It's the very last Maramakam on this sheet. Oh. Watch this. This is Puravu, the last three lines. Because man she'evshes tisaber shayach ad mitzvazu v'otu oni she'ein lo b'mal esfarnes yuladim yeh potem y'mitzvah says, hey, the Puravu? What are you kidding? It's impossible. The Rambam says it's mutter to postpone to either for parnasa purposes or for learning purposes. Yeah, in my opinion, that's only if you postpone marriage. If you postpone marriage and you are a practicing Orthodox Jew, so there's a push to get married. So you postpone the marriage because you have something else, which is a bigger push. You want to learn more Torah. You want to make sure you have a few dollars in your pocket. That's one thing. But once you get married, it seems to me that there's no heter whatsoever to postpone having children, except, of course, for health purposes. The woman is not feeling well, so you have no choice. Should you marry that girl in the first place? Ideally, no. She's a ketana. She has to use birth control. Okay? So, none of us here can be accused of looking to marry 10-year-olds, but a 20-year-old who finds favor in your eyes and you find out that she has a medical condition, a different story. She has a medical condition, so you're in effect stuck in the relationship. I'm not sure if you would have gone out with her in the first place if you knew the medical condition. Maybe yes, maybe no. A little to do with last week's shiur. Okay. What about, Rebosai, the possibility of having children who are very sick? Yes, I'm listening.
Can you just explain the difference between, if either way you're pushing off the roof, what's the driving force behind pushing
right.
Right. So either way you're pushing off Puru Vu, what's the difference between
the difference is very simple. We have a Klal Godel Bedin. We're learning Sukkah this year. I don't know how you were learning Sukkah this year. But if you learn the very beginning of Sukkah and it comes up on Daf Test, Daf Chafei, Sukkah is a mitzvah saseh. Daf says in the Torah, Lo Sochel Chutz L'Sukkah. Nonetheless, it's clear from the poskim that if I don't eat anything, that's one situation. And if I eat out of the sukkah, it's a different situation. So if a person is not married, okay, he's like not eating. A person is married and the measures are taken to avoid having a child, that's mevatel da'aseh b'yadayim. That's why it's worse. Oh, yeah, Shlomo, what I implied earlier.
Eating in the sukkah, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. For who you do have to. So, you're comparing two things that are not the same.
Okay, they're not identical, but the.
You don't want to eat in the sukkah, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. Eating in the sukkah, everybody has to do, no matter what. So, why is necessarily the same distinction by a mitzvah you don't have to do? So, if you don't do, be a diet, I understand.
I believe that even a mitzvah you have to do, if you don't do it, because right now, it's not in your power to do it. That's one situation. If you don't do it, it's totally in your power to do it. You just are creating an artificial blockage of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. That's worse. But of course, you understand also, as I implied earlier, that a person, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in us a desire to get married, to have the physical relationship, is not going to be celibate forever without the mandate of the Torah. So that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned for the world. You know, you want to get married, so you get married and have children. So if you're going to say, you know, you get married, don't have children. So that's an unhealthy state. It's an unhealthy state. It's going against certainly the spirit of the law. And maybe I think it's going against the letter of the law also. And you'll say, okay, Rabbi, if you tell me I can't practice birth control, I won't get married. That's like we call that blackmail. Blackmail. Don't get married. I can't give it to all blackmailers all the time. If you want to get married, if you're old enough to get married, you're old enough to have children. You can't afford it. You can't afford to be married. You can't afford to have children. We can't afford anything in life. Somehow you'll find a way. That's my answer to your question. Rav Moshe Tshuva talks about having children that are not going to be healthy. Right? Rav Moshe is in the middle of this tshuva. He says, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing that is tremendous tsar, and he says, this tsar is very, very bad. Tsar gadol l'shonim harbe, eina meshubedes l'bala letus. She's not required to enter into this enterprise of having children that are so sick that it causes a terrible amount of tsar. Let's see, look in the middle of that tshuva. Shlomo Zalman, as in his Minchas Shlomo b'chel gimel, that if the husband's afraid that the tsar is worth to him more than chomesh minachasov is put. You have a general rule, not required to spend more than 20% of your money in any mitzvah. And if the tsar is greater than 20% equivalent, then you'd be potter. I have a kasha. A big kasha to me. You mean to tell me, pru revu, you're only required to spend 20% of your money? I'll tell you, fellas, you'd be lucky if you're left with 20% of your money. So you'd have at least 80% of your money. Am I starting correct? I don't know what the Rav Shlomo Zalman is saying over here. I don't understand. That's no true of Chomash from the Chosin, it seems to me. I think you're part of for a totally different reason. You're not allowed to bring these children into the world. You're not allowed to. Mitzar Adam Yisroel. I can't cause somebody pain. I'm going to bring a child into the world I know in advance it's going to have taste acts. Rechman, let's not. Any event, I want to just a few more minutes. There were those who say that every couple should practice contraception at the beginning of the marriage. Across the board. Why? These are good rabbis. Good rabbis, Talmidei Chachamim. They see too much early divorce. The amount of early, quickie divorces has gone up, no question about that. And if there's a child, it makes the matter so complicated. We spoke to you last week about a situation of Kiddushei Toros, which I think is not really correct, all because of one child, that they're fighting about fire and water, and it led to that terrible result. So to play it safe, postpone having children for a while, some say a half year, some say a year, until you see that the marriage is going to work out, and then try to have children. I spoke to my experts. They told me that even after the uptick, it's still this quickie divorce phenomenon. It's a mere chen amatsu. It's a single-digit phenomenon. And I don't believe that you have a right to paskin for every single couple based on this mirchen and matzi. I will say that if a rav sees that a couple is problematic and may not make it, you just have that funny feeling, then I think birth control is appropriate. And his psak is accepted in Lakewood, New Jersey as well. I was involved in the case. The people thought this shidduch should not go through. Went through anyway. They told the woman, make sure you're on birth control. Sure enough, they got divorced pretty shortly thereafter. Okay, but that's not the rule. That's an exception. It's an exception. There is one rabbi who's written that, this is a private matter. Rabbis shouldn't be deciding these things, shouldn't be getting involved in these questions. They should tell people what they want. That's an abdication of halachic responsibility. I just don't know what the words mean. There are specific halachas. There is this halacha which I read to you, the Rambam, that you have to live up b'cholona v'ona. I don't know how this rabbi is trying to use some fancy footwork to get out. I spoke about it in many shiur. No one can figure out what he means. So it is an obligation, and rabbis have to paskin. Sure, they can make exceptions to the rule. I understand that. They make too many exceptions. Many too many exceptions. Many. You know, ironically, I have to say sometimes, I'm the quote-unquote Wayu Rav, and I will not make exceptions as a rule. And they go to their quote-unquote Lakewood rabbis, and they're giving out exceptions like you give out candy. You know, she's emotionally immature. She had a problem dealing with her mother. I mean, but what is it? What's going on over here? You know, I have to give in because whether they come to a higher authority, someone who's from a Lakewood school or that. But I still think I'm right. And I will have to tell you that I've dealt with cases where I thought that they should have it right away. They didn't listen to me. And guess what? A couple years later, they're now fertility treatments. Yes, there's a miyat ha-matsui where they can't become pregnant by themselves. That's a miyat ha-matsui, it's more than 10%. The divorces is a miyat she'en ha-matsui. Quickie divorces. In any event, Rabosai, I have to end, time is up. I'll end with a story that I was asked to tell to everybody. Tell you the story. A couple came to me 30-something, maybe close to 40 years ago. One second. Yeah, a long time ago, maybe more than 40 years ago. And they came to me. I hardly knew the couple. I never met him. I met in the Kamar Rashad basketball court. So I knew a relative, whatever. They want to talk to you before they're as chosn kala. I said, okay. They said, they come to my room, this is my study, want to talk about birth control. I said, you came to the wrong address. It was Moshe Shabbos, Shavuot Tov, you should go on your way and have a mazlan bruch. No. I said, I'm telling you, no. Okay, whatever you say goes. What was the issue? If I'm not mistaken, he was in a medical residency, he wasn't going to be home, and she felt she didn't have the emotional strength to contemplate a pregnancy. I said, I'm sorry. See that as a legitimate reason to postpone trying to become pregnant. I see she's tearing up. But you know, the chet of Adam Arishin, quote the Chazal, is when Chava started to cry, so he gave in to what she said. Some Farsha Medrash. So I learned that from Adam Arishin. You can't do that. So I held my ground. What can I do? I told him not to come to me. I told him not to ask me. Okay, good. Forgot all about the Parsha Gemara. 10 years later, I met this couple at a yeshiva dinner. Can we talk to you privately? I said, yeah. Take me into a corner of the room. I said, do you remember us? I said, yes. Do you remember we spoke to you before the wedding? I said, yes. Do you know what we spoke about? I said, yes. He reaches into his wallet and pulls out a picture of 5 delicious children. He says to me as follows. When we left your house, we went into the car, and my kala, now my wife, was crying like a baby. She was completely emotionally overwhelmed. She said, how am I going to do this? We want to thank you, because thanks to your statement, we were blessed with these 5 wonderful children. Never would have been able to have 5 children if you wouldn't have started right away. And my wife did very well. She overcame. You have to take a longer view, a broader perspective. People get married in their 20s, they don't see the whole picture. And they just can't handle it. And please tell our story to everybody. some mitzvah l'kayim, the Devei Chachamim. Some's telling you that story. It made it seem difficult at the time. I think it's against halacha, as I told you earlier. But even more so, it's against... I met this woman a number of years later. She tells me, yesterday I made the bris to my first grandson. That never would have happened in that period of her life had she not followed what the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say. Okay? See you next week. We have mincha? Yes? Yes. Okay. We have all the Rambam covered.